Good evening, everybody. I just needed to make sure my camera was on and make sure everything was working right. It is so good to be with you tonight. Andy is actually doing another live stream in a different area. So tonight we're going to do our kids class. And then after our kids class, we are going to do our adult class. So I would like to encourage each of you to get out your green card. And we're going to look at that. But first, we're going to sing a couple songs. We're going to sing the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's a book for me. I stand alone by the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E Bible. All right. I hope you're singing along with me. The next song we're going to look at, Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. All right. What about this one? Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. All right. All right, next we're going to sing, I think you know this one, our Bible class song. Our Bible class song, and then we're going to get out our green cards, and we're going to go over those things that are on that green card. All right. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. For God loves you, and I love you, and your teacher loves you too. When you go to class, your teacher will tell you all that God has done for you. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. For God loves you and I love you and your teacher loves you too. When you go to class, your teacher will tell you all that God has done for you. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, very shh, very, very shh, quiet. All right. I hope you have your green cards out. If you don't have your green cards out, that's okay, because I know you're remembering them. I know you're making it extra time to study these. And what these cards are is the Gospel of John. And we know that John is found in the New Testament. He has wrote this for our learning and for our understanding that he is talking to us about the life of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to ask you, what is in John chapter 1? Is it Jesus is God, our Creator? I hope he said that. And well, next, John chapter 2, John chapter 3, John chapter 4, and John chapter 5. Now, my numbers on my fingers doesn't make sense. But when we look at that, these are the water verses that are written that we can learn about them. John chapter 2 is, what's it have to do with water? Water to wine. The next one is Jesus teaches Nicodemus, and what does that have to do with water? Well, he teaches him about baptism, a new birth. And in John chapter 4, Jesus is at the well. It's a watering well where you get water for your animals and for you. And in John chapter 5 is the Jesus heals a man at the pool. So we see Jesus turns water into wine. Teaching about Nicodemus and baptism, Jesus with the woman at the well and the pool. So the next one is chapter. Well, let me ask you, what chapter is Jesus, the bread of life. Yes, that is chapter 6. Good job. What about what chapter did Jesus, I'm going to skip a few, okay? Did Jesus heal the blind man? Did you say chapter 9? That's exactly right. All right, what about Jesus teaches in the temple? That's chapter 7. Chapter 8 is the woman taken in adultery. And then we see Jesus in chapter 10, we learn that he is the true, do you remember? Shepherd, that's right. And then the next chapter is Jesus raises Lazarus, or it's just the raising of Lazarus. Now, in chapter 12, we see that Jesus predicts his own death. And we're going to talk about that death tonight in chapter 19. But Jesus in chapter 12, he predicted it, that he was going to die. Then we see Jesus washing his disciples' feet in chapter 13. And we see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life in chapter 14, verse 6, right, Austin or Owen? Forgot which kid it was. All right. How? We've been working on that one. So John chapter 15 is Jesus is how to be a friend of to Jesus. Then we learned last week the coming of the Holy Spirit is in John chapter 16 and the prayer of Jesus. Yep, John chapter 17. And when was Jesus arrested? If you're following along, it's John chapter 18. Now, we have a few minutes, and we're going to look at John chapter 19. John chapter 19 is about Jesus going to the cross. When we look at this and understand, there is so much that we need to learn about that. But we need to know when we want to talk about the cross of Jesus, we can look at what happened on the leading up to the cross and being on the cross. We can see in John chapter 19 about the cross and that Jesus had, it was a sad moment. It was a sad moment for his disciples. It was definitely painful and hard to deal with Jesus. He had his nails put in his hands. He had nails putting through his feet. He was nailed to the cross for each and every one of us. Now, when we look at that, we can understand that that is very sad. It is very sad. Jesus is going to be the Savior of the world, but he had to go to the cross. And that's where we find it in John chapter 19. And it's what we want you to learn is that's where we find about it. We can read about it. That he said when it was done, that it is finished. And whenever maybe one of you or all of you have gone and rode a roller coaster, and sometimes that roller coaster goes up real high and real low and real high. Well, when we think of that in thinking of Jesus, it's real low time in the disciples' life. It was a real time in the world. They just crucified the Savior. They put him on a cross. But John chapter 20, we see that high again. And that roller coaster raising up. And that's the way it is with Jesus. We see a terrible moment, and then we see a very exciting moment. And that exciting moment is that on the first day of the week, Jesus rose from the dead. The disciples went down to the tomb, and the tomb was open, and Jesus was not in there. He wasn't dead. He is alive, and that is something that we need to be excited about, be very excited about, because Jesus didn't stay dead. He is alive. In fact, we learn in other parts of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that people saw him. We also, in John chapter 19, we or 20, we see people seeing him. But John chapter, or 1 Corinthians 15 talks about how 500 people see him. Paul, Peter, and all these people got to see Jesus. Excuse me. Whenever we look at this, that gives us great joy that Jesus is alive, and that he was he didn't die forever, and he rose again. And that is what gives us hope. That's what, we don't have to be afraid to die because Jesus rose again, that we can one day raise again and be with him. And in John chapter 20, we learn about the resurrection. And that's what gives us hope. And that's what gives us excitement that Jesus overcame that. Now, when we look at these two chapters, we look at the cross, and we look at his death, and then we look at his resurrection. You see, that is so important for us to know that God loves us, and God loved Jesus, but he loved us so that we could have hope in him, that he is our Savior. He is the one that will help us have life in him, as John chapter 14 and verse 6. That is why we can listen to Jesus. That is why we can trust in him, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. All right, we have one more song to sing, and then we are going to have a prayer, and we will have to get Andy's song. I know some of it, but don't want to forget anything. All right, in the image of God, we need to... We all need to remember that we are created in the image of God. All right, sing with me here. Do you know, little child, what is in you? Can you dream, little child, of going far? Do you know, little child, of the power you've been given? Do you know, little child, whose you are? You were made in the image of God, just a little bit below the angels. And the masterpiece of heaven's hand is your body and your soul. You were made in the image, you were made in the image, you were made in the image of God, in the image of God. All right, thank you. Let's go to God in prayer before we close. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these children, that they are created in your image, that they are here to learn about your word, and we're so thankful for them. We pray that you would help them in their life. We pray that you give them the strength that they need, and we pray that you would help them to honor and to serve you all their life. Father, we are so thankful that we can talk to you, that we can look at your word, and that we can learn more about you, and we can learn more about Jesus, who went to the cross for us, and that he rose again, that we may have hope in him. Father, thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we are going to transition into the adult Bible class. And if you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we, last time I did this, it was a few weeks ago, we were looking at 1 through 5 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let me just summarize chapter 1 and 2 real quick of where we're at. We see that Paul is writing to those in the church, those saints that were sanctified, those saints that were called on Jesus Christ, those who are Christians, is what he was really getting at. And we understand that he writes to them because he heard about there was division. And there was division because they were following after man. And then Paul gets in and talks about the wisdom of God and why we should follow that wisdom of God, because it is so much greater than man's wisdom. Then we get into chapter 2, and he was reminding them how Paul came about and how he came to them. He didn't come with excellence of speech or he didn't come with a wisdom of man, but he came with the power and the testimony of God. And he brought that because he only wanted to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he wanted people to know about Jesus Christ and how people have to know that. We talked in our kids class about John chapter 14 and verse 6 that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. When Jesus said that, he is saying that no man can come to God the Father, and be right with God except coming through Jesus Christ. When Paul talked about Jesus, he talked to them and told them about what Jesus has done for them, that he was crucified on the cross. And that is not man's wisdom. You see, we would think as a physical wisdom and man-made wisdom, we would not put our Savior on a cross. In fact, we would put our Savior on the throne and make him ruler of the world. But God's wisdom put him on a cross. And that cross was something that Paul held to when he taught that. This is God's wisdom, and this is the way God was going to bring forth his message so that we can know what is right. This is God's wisdom. God's wisdom. And why we need to follow that. Now, we're going to look at chapter 6, or chapter 2, verse 6. And I'm going to go ahead and read a few verses here. It will read 6 through, let's go ahead and read 6 through 9. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and starting in verse 6. It says, however we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the ruler of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I want to talk about these verses for a few minutes tonight because I think that it is important, and it's a continuation. Chapter 1 and 2 and even chapter 3 are just so molded together, and it gets to this argument of how do we deal with church issues? How do we deal with things and divisions in the body of Christ? We know that there should be no divisions among us. And that first, we have to turn to the wisdom of God. We look at this wisdom of God, and we see that the wisdom of God is so much greater than the wisdom of man. But we see, yet when we talk about this, we look at verse 6, the wisdom that we speak among you who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. Paul is saying, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to talk to you about wisdom, but I'm not going to talk to you about the wisdom of this age, this fleshly life that they're in, this time period. And this time period was not of the rulers didn't know about it, and those who are passing away, they may have not, that's not the wisdom. We think of elderly, and we think of wisdom, because they've lived around here longer and they understand or this wisdom is on earth. But that's not what Paul's talking about. He said they don't understand that because we got to look to a higher source, the wisdom of God. He said we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, when we look at God's word, it is not a mystery. It is not for us to just guess and hope and choose that we follow what is right, and it's not something that we just don't know clearly. What Paul is talking about is back at the beginning ages, the time of Abraham and Isaac and even back before that, that God had a plan for each of us. He had a plan for the whole world. And this whole world we can look back, and let me stop here before I go on. We can look back because we have the written, inspired Word of God, and we can look back and see everything in clear sight. Now, when we look at this, it makes it very clear to us, or at least it should. If it doesn't, we need to sit down and study together. Because we can see what God has revealed to us, and we can see the whole plan of God laid out in front of us, and we can know about it. But think about the time when Abraham and Isaac and those, and then you go through the kings and the prophets and David and all the his son, and we see all that. Then we see the prophets; they were getting a piece of revelation. The scriptures that we look and call the Old Testament, they were getting those scriptures, and they were writing them. They were given as oracles of God, and they were living that. Now, they didn't know the whole plan of God. These prophets, they talk about Jesus being the Messiah. They talk about, or maybe not Jesus, that there will become a man, in his name we would call a Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, when he comes upon this earth. And these prophets talk about Jesus and point to Jesus, this Messiah. And when we get this revelation, and as they were getting this revelation, it was somewhat of a mystery because they didn't know the whole piece. They didn't have the whole puzzle. You know, if we had just the little pieces of puzzle, we wouldn't know where to put them if we didn't have the whole puzzle there. Maybe we might be able to put the outer edge in, but we couldn't fill in the middle if we didn't have all the pieces. You see, they were getting piece by piece. And it said that we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages of our glory. We look at this, and we look at this as the wisdom of God. Is Jesus going to the cross is the wisdom of God. And with Jesus going to the cross, we see the plan of salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is the God's predetermined plan before all the ages that this is what is going to bring us glory. And we look at this glory that we have, it is because of Jesus Christ. Now, we see the wisdom, which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they understood it, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. You see, God had to let things play out, if you will. He had to let his plan come to fruition. When we look at this, he had to let Jesus die on the cross. Because if he told them everything, maybe they wouldn't have crucified him. You see, God had to give them pieces, give them hope, give them something better. We look at the remnant. In the remnant, these are going to be the children of Israel who at that time were going to be to bring forth the Messiah in through the seed and the seed promise, which is in Jesus Christ. And all that, if they didn't have the full puzzle, they wouldn't have been able to put it together. And if they would have been able to put it together, Paul was saying they would have not crucified Jesus. But this is God's plan. This is God's plan. In fact, he gets to this, and he gets to this prophecy that he gives, or he's quoting here in Isaiah 64 and verse 4. He said, things which the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, in which they have not entered the heart of man. We look at that, and sometimes if we just read that, what does that mean? Well, the things the eye has not seen, they didn't see, and they didn't hear, and they didn't let it enter their heart. You see, some may say, well, that's heaven. We haven't seen heaven. We don't know what it's like, and we don't know what it is. But I think in some ways it's that present life. that's also true about heaven. We don't know what it's like. We can only get little pieces of what God has revealed to us, but we know it's going to be a greater place. But when we look at this, these things which the eye has not seen or ear has not heard, in which we have not entered the heart of man, this is getting to God's plan. God's plan was letting it play out. Let's go to, please turn your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John. Because I want us to contrast this a little bit, compare and contrast. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says this: what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifest, and we have seen and testified to proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. We look at this as what he's saying is Jesus was there in front of us. We saw his power. We heard his voice. We saw him in the flesh, that he is the word of life. Now, we look at this revelation of God's plan coming together. The prophets couldn't see it all. They couldn't hear it all. And we see, but God, what ends up happening at the end of that quote that he does in Isaiah 64 and verse 4, and back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, he said, and that God has prepared for those who love him. What is that preparation? What did he prepare for us? He prepared for us a plan, the gospel plan of salvation. Remember that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and we could go through the resurrection. And that is the message that we need to understand, that that is God's plan that has to happen. Now, we understand this. We look at this. This is the grace of God being bestowed upon the world, the grace of God, his plan coming to in happening and being played out at this point in time. And this is God's plan, that salvation is in Jesus Christ. And we need to know that and trust that and believe in it. And then we get into verse, I'm going to read verses 10 through let's just go ahead and read 10 through the rest of the chapter. It says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We look at these, it's going to be six verses here. In verses 10 through 16, we see the wisdom of God being put forth in basically being laid out in front of us. We know that there is God's wisdom, and that is having Jesus come to be in the flesh, and God's wisdom putting him on the cross, that he is the only way that any man, any woman, anybody can have salvation is through Jesus Christ. But then what we get here is the Holy Spirit working in the inspiration of Scripture, and the inspiration that we have the God's revelation out for us that we, at this point in time in the world, we can look and we can see that this is God's plan. This is God's word. It's, we know in 2 Timothy 3:16 that the God-breathed word is profitable for teaching and doctrine. It's inspired by God. It's given to us by God. And we have it for our learning and instruction and to change it, help us. We look at this, and that's what is being talked about here in verse 9, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. And I think what he's talking about, through the Holy Spirit, God revealed his plan. And we see his plan is done through the Holy Spirit. We know that Jesus taught these men. He taught them all things. In fact, we know that Jesus said, I'm going to give you a helper. You can't do this on your own. You can't remember everything. I'm going to give you assurance that you know the truth. And that is through the Holy Spirit. And we see this Holy Spirit in what is it about? You see, he goes out and searches the mind of God. If God had a mind like we do, he could go in there and see everything that happens in God, that he knows every truth of God. Now, that's all God is true. So he can look and get that and prepare that. He searches all that. The depths of God, he goes through, the Holy Spirit does, and he gives it to us, so we can know God's revelation, that we can know what he has given and what he expects of us. We look at this, and Paul makes this argument, for who among men knows the thoughts of men except the spirit of man? You see, I can look at you, and you can look at me, and you go, what is he thinking? What is he thinking? I have no idea. You may be thinking that right now with me. What is he thinking? And whenever we look at this, is you don't know, and I don't know. We only know about ourselves. We can only testify about what we know. But when we look at this and understand, the Holy Spirit went to God and he searched God. And we can know that Paul, in what he is talking, he said, now we receive not the spirit of the world. We didn't get the understanding of the whole world and write scripture. No, we got it from God. We may be given, it was given to us freely from God, that we can know what God wants, because the Holy Spirit helped them, revealed that to them in writing and speaking. We know on the day of Pentecost, Peter talked about the plan of salvation, that they must believe and repent of their sins and be baptized for the remission of their sins. We look at this, we know that they were inspired verbally, and they were also inspired as they wrote, and they wrote scripture. And we see that this is given to these men to write. And he said, and it's freely given. It's given so we can know what God wants of us. These things we speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but those that were taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. I'm sorry. We look at this. This is the divine revelation. It is God's breathed word being put forth for their learning, for our learning. And we understand that this is every word. It's a plenary and verbal in every way for us to know the will of God. And then the rest of the chapter builds into this argument. But a natural man does not accept the things which the Spirit of God, they are foolishness to him. You see, someone is just doesn't have the understanding or doesn't have the Holy Spirit, they can't tell you about the things of God. But only those who are spiritual, only those that God has granted to give us that verbal revelation that we now have in Scripture, it can only come from the power of God working through them. And we look at this in verse 16. It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now, I want us to understand this. In Isaiah 40 and verse 13, It's a direct quote. It's special divine revelation is what he's talking about. Who can know the mind of the Lord? And who can instruct him? Only through the Holy Spirit can we know that what is truth. And that is what God has revealed to us. We have the scripture. We have the written scripture that we can know what God expects of us. Now, we look at this and we see, but we have the mind of Christ. Paul was saying, but we have the mind of Christ. We have an understanding. You see, God the Father, and it's important for us to make mention of this. When we look at God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they are unified together. They cannot teach one thing here, one thing there, and another thing here. They are unified together. John 17 talks about Jesus and his prayer and how he prayed to God. He said, he wants the unity for those, for his disciples and all that will follow after him, that they be, as Jesus was referring to God, as they are in you and you are in me, that they can be joined together, perfectly joined together as we are joined together. We see this, and that's how we know that the divine revelation is, if someone comes today and says, I'm bringing you a new revelation that the Holy Spirit gave us, well, that's not going to be true, because we have the divine revelation written in Scripture. We have God the Father who instructed Jesus, and Jesus, while he was here, he came and taught those things of God. And he said, my words are God's words, and I'm bringing forth the message from God. And then he showed the signs, the miracles, the wonders, and they should believe in Jesus Christ and the one who sent him. And then the Holy Spirit comes in as the Spirit of the truth, the helper, the one who is going to bring forth a gift to each of us. And we look at this and how it helped the miraculous in the inspired writing of the scripture, the divine revelation. And we can't know that. We can't know about God unless God has given his mind to us. And we can't know Christ unless we know the mind of Christ. And we know the mind of Christ because what he's done for us. And then this gets into chapter 3. And we're going to look a little bit at chapter 3 because this will tie it all in together. In fact, I'd love to sit here and do the rest of the chapter 3, but I don't think we're going to have time tonight. So it says in chapter 3, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, you are not carnal and behaving like mere men. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, and are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. We're going to just stop right there, because I think that's about all we're going to have time to study for tonight. We look at this, and this gets back into 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when there was divisions among them, and there was problems, and there was one's following after this man, another one's following after this man, and another one's following after this man, and who are we to believe? Did Paul die for them? No, Jesus did. And we look at how Paul handles this situation, one being inspired, in writing to the church in Corinth, the Christians in Corinth. He wrote to them and told and confronted the conflict. He dealt with it. And he said, there should be no divisions among you. And he gets to this argument. If you would have followed the wisdom of God instead of the wisdom of man, there wouldn't be any divisions among you. The wisdom of God is this. The wisdom of God is Jesus Christ and him crucified. The wisdom of God is bringing forth his Spirit to confirm that we have the written and inspired word. And then Paul comes back and gets to this point here where he's saying, you know, I came to you as spiritual, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, you know, of carnal acting. And he said, as infants in Christ, as babes in Christ, you should have known more about this. You should have kept studying. You should have known more. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. And you're still not, is what he gets to and says this, because you're still carnal. You're still fleshly. You see, Paul deals with that by teaching them the wisdom of God in comparing that and how much more is greater than man. And he said, gets to this argument that you guys are not spiritually minded. You are not thinking of spiritual things. You're thinking of worldly things. You're following after worldly men, and that's not the way we should do it. And that's not how we should strive. We need to follow after the wisdom of God. So we see the problem of division. He points them to God. He points them to God's wisdom through Jesus Christ in the inspired word, in the Holy Spirit. We look at this, and that is how he deals with that. Now, what is this lesson for us? You see, we may not completely understand things. Maybe we've just not taken the time to really understand the word of God. We need to renew our mind, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. How do we renew our mind unless we go to the mind of Christ, the mind of God, the mind of the Holy Spirit, that we can know that these things are from God? We have to get in the Word. We have to get in the inspired Word of God and study and read and not just do it and just say, oh, I read my Bible, I read a couple verses. No, read and study your Bible. Start thinking about asking questions about this. Well, do you understand what you're reading? You know, this is why we have Bible studies. This is why we want to learn. We want to make sure that you get the milk, but you're also getting the meat too. That you understand the whole picture, but then how does that apply to me? And this, he wanted to teach them more, but he had to go back to stop looking at man and start looking to God. We have problems sometimes in the church. We have problems sometimes not how know how to deal with it. We need to go to the wisdom of God. We look around this world. We see that there is division in the body of Christ. Some call themselves Christians here and go to that denomination and this denomination, which we know are all denominations in of Christ in some way. Is that the way it's supposed to be? No, it's not. We need to go back to the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man. And we can't go back to, oh, well, this guy thought this and this guy thought this, and that's why we're going to do it this way. We have to do it God's way. We have to go and look at the wisdom of God and make sure we're studying and understanding what God has written for us to understand. And when we do that and we go there, we can be joined and unified together like we should be as followers of Jesus Christ, knowing that we are in Christ Jesus, that we were baptized for the remission of our sins, just like they were on the day of Pentecost, just like the Ethiopian eunuch was done. He was baptized for the remission of his sins. You see, we need to get back to the wisdom of God, because that is what will unify us together. When we are unified together, people will know that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. In fact, in John chapter 17, if you would turn there, when we're talking about unity, we're talking about those things in verse 22. In John chapter 17, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them and you and me, that we may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. You see, if we want this world to know that we are Christians, we must be unified together, spreading this message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, speaking the wisdom of God. And when we do that, this world will know Jesus came from God and believe in Him. But that takes us to first know it. We need to look and understand what God wants us to do, that we need to become members of the body of Christ. We need to enter Christ through baptism. That in order to do that, we must believe in Him. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and confess that. We must repent of our sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins. And we need to live faithful, unified together. That's where they were at. They were at this point, they were infants in Christ. And they're supposed to grow and become the teachers and instructors and those that, but they were still fleshly. There has to be a change, a repentance that I'm not going to be fleshly and carnal anymore. But I am going to grow as a Christian. Each of us need to grow, and I myself have to grow as a Christian. We have to grow and continue to grow for the rest of our lives. The only way we're going to do it is when we go back to the wisdom of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, God in heaven, we humbly come before You. We pray that You will help us in our life. Help us to turn to You in complete and hope and trust in You. That You would help us to spread the message of Christ, the message of unity, based upon Your wisdom, not our wisdom. That we would follow after Your will, that we'd follow after the wisdom that You have given us through the Holy Spirit, the wisdom that is written in Scripture for our learning. Father, please help us. We need Your strength. We need Your guidance. We need Your wisdom. And Father, we beg it of You that You would help us so we can make this world know that You are the Son of God, that Jesus was the Son of God, that You sent Him to this earth to die for each and every one of us. Father, please help us. Please be with those that are sick. Each of us know so many that are sick. Father, please be with them at this time. And Father, we pray for our leaders. We pray for strength and wisdom and that they would stand according to Your word on the principles that are found in You. Pray that You be with the elders of the church, that they would stand firm and fast in Your word, always seeking Your wisdom above all. May each of us do that, Father. Please help us and give us the strength that we need to overcome the temptations in this world. And Father, we pray for forgiveness. Thank You so much for giving us Your word. And we thank You so much for Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining in tonight. And we hope that you'll come and worship with us on Sunday at 10:40. And we will have our worship service in the auditorium at the church. And if you, for some reason, can't be able to make it, please join our live stream. Thank you so much and have a great night. Thank you.